I would like to talk today about a very interesting topic, and that's the topic of plaques, names on buildings, the Norman and Marion Tansman Center for Jewish Life, the Dayan, whatever, the different Kukin Educational Wing, all kinds of interesting plaques and names. Is there a source to that? Is it positive or is it negative? Because really, it's a little bit of a dichotomy or a paradox. On one hand, people do it. On the other hand, as we'll see soon, the Torah teaches us that what does Hashem ask from us? Hatznei alechef b'mashem elokecha. A person should be modest. They say in Yiddish, you shouldn't be shrayed. Shouldn't do things that are out there and trying to get everybody to see them. So how does this work? Are we supposed to advertise? Are we supposed to publicize our charity donations, our dedications, our chesed that we do? Want to accept an honoring? So that says yeshiva wants to honor you, or an organization wants to honor you. Should you accept it, or it's a lack of modesty, or it's a lack of humility to publicly get accolades? A very strong question when it comes to Yiddishkeit, when it comes to Judaism, and you know, it's something we really have to take a little bit of time trying to unpackage. Is it appropriate for a person to, get it out there that they're doing something or not? I'll tell you. I'll start with something fascinating, and then we'll get into some of the sources, the Torah and Halacha. There's a particular very wealthy philanthropist who you may have heard of his name. I'm not going to say his name because I didn't ask him permission. But what I'm about to say is public knowledge. He gave a few years ago, probably about 10 years ago, he gave like a $2 or $3 million donation to the Lakewood Yeshiva, which is beautiful. And he publicized it. And he asked them to publicize it. And someone asked him, and they interviewed him, I think, in one of the publications. They said to him, like, that's a bit arrogant. Why did everyone know you'd be so much seductive? Like, how could we have a right to do such a thing? And he said something fascinating. He said the reason that he publicized it was because he wanted to up people's level of understanding of how much money we should be giving to tzedakah. He says he was able to count on one hand the amount of Jewish people that give donations of that size to Jewish organizations of substance. It's easy to give a lot of money to an organization of no substance because you have no Yetzirah telling you not to do it. But to give money to an organization of substance, that does a Yetzirah. The evil Galatians says not to do it. And he says, I wanted to show people we have to up our donations. It's nice to give $18,000, $180,000, and $1,800,000. But let's try to start giving millions if we can give millions. And that's why he did it. So that was with a good cheshbon. So we'll see if he was right, if he was wrong. Let's begin with the Ramban. The Ramban teaches us that when it came time for the Jewish people to build the Mishkan, the Pasuk teaches us, Vayavayu hanashim al hanashim. The men came in addition to the women. Kol nadiv leiv, everyone was generous of spirit. They brought all kinds of jewelry, and they brought gold and silver and rings, nose rings, all kinds of great stuff. V'chal isha asher heinif tenufas zav l'Hashem. And every man that was heinif tenufas zav. What does that mean? Tenufa usually is when you pick up something, you wave it, you move it this way, you move it that way. That's called tenufa. Now, Rambam wonders, what does that mean? What does it mean that they did tenufa? Any person that came and did tenufa, that waved the money that they gave, the object that they gave. Ramban says that the people that brought gold were far and few in between, right? A lot of people bought copper. A lot of people bought silver. But the people that bought gold, that was not so common. He says that the following, he writes, he says, Al-Kain tikra zu tenufa vizu truma. When it speaks about more substantial donations of gold, it calls it tenufa, something that's waived. When it speaks about objects that are of lesser value, it calls it truma. So he says, why? Hamevi zahav yinoifeth yaday l'chashivu sanadam. Someone that brings gold waves his hands because of the prestige of the object that he's giving. Or halaychim yinoifu hazav l'haroysay l'shabeach hamevi al nivasay. Or maybe the Ramban says it's referring to the recipient. Whoever was in charge of the base of the Mishkan, when someone came with a large donation, they would pick it up and say, look what this guy just gave. He just gave so much gold. So we see right away in the Ramban, it seems like they acknowledged the gifts of the very big donors in the Mishkan. So it seems like that's not necessarily such a bad thing. As a matter of fact, the Nitziv writes in his Sefer Hamik Sheila, he brings a pasuk in Zechariah. The pasuk says, it's a complex pasuk, but the pasuk says that Ha'atarais Tia Lizikarin be'echal Hashem. The hataris, the donations of different rounds of gold, should be for a zikaron be'echal Hashem. They should be eternalized in the sanctuary of Hashem. And the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, in his commentary on Zechariah, writes that they would actually engrave the names of the donors into these hataris, these special crowns of gold that were donated to the Beis HaMikdash, to memorialize them. So we see actually in the Navi that there was a concept or an idea of people giving large, expensive donations, perhaps. And what did the Beis HaMikdash do to eternalize and memorialize? They inscribed their name into it. So we see that we see from the Pasuk in the Navi that that's not such a bad thing necessarily for a person to try to inscribe something. Mara says, Yosef ben Yehezer, Mara says in Maseches, Baba Basra, he donated a large amount of dinarim to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gizbarim, the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, they got up and they wrote this down. I guess there was some place where they would memorialize large donations, and they put it in. And they did that was so that people, the future generations, will remember the incredible donation of Yosef ben Yehezer. And as it says there, the Gemara brings down, we find in the Torah that mefarsim min oisei mitzvah, that we publicize when somebody does a mitzvah. As the Torah says, vayishma Reuven, vayatzilehu miyadam. Reuven heard that Yosef was being thrown, they wanted to kill him, vayatzilehu miyadam, and he saved them. So we see this concept, this idea of mefarsim min oisei mitzvah, that we do publicize people who do a mitzvah. From the Gemara in Baba Basra, from this Ramban, and also from Reuven. And we know there's a famous Mishnah in Maseches Yuma as well, a few Mishnayos there, which speak about different characters in history. Munvaz, Hilni Hamalka, Nikanar. These are people who donated distinct things to the Beis HaMikdash. And Nikanar donated the doors, and Munvaz made a special contraption for the Kior. Hilni Hamalka did something else. And Gemara says, Mishnah says, that Maskirin Osam L'Shvach, we memorialize them or we remember them in a positive light. So it seems like, again, there's this concept of this idea of memorializing or eternalizing donations that people. So initially, it sounds like, at least we can explain why, but it sounds initially like it is a good thing for a person to memorialize, or for at least for the donors to eternalize, for the recipients to eternalize the donors. Mara says in Maseches Erechin, and the following basically, Mara says like this, Yisrael, menorah or ner lebeis haknesses. If a person donates a menorah to a shul or a candelabra to a shul, aser l'shanoisa, you're not allowed to switch it out. If someone gives it, you cannot switch the switch it and say, yeah, you know what, we'd like to use something else, because once they gave it, they gave it. The Yerushalmi writes in Maseches Megillah on this, or is it Maseches Yuma? Maseches Megillah, the Yerushalmi writes that. That's only if the object that was donated is memorialized. It's inscribed. It has a plaque on it. Somebody wrote something on it. There's a cover that has the name on it. Then you have to keep it. And that's only if the person that donated, again, I'm sorry, if the person's still alive and people still remember that person, you have to keep it. Even if the person's not alive, but if it's written, it's inscribed, it's memorialized, you're not allowed to switch it out. You still have to leave that candelabra, have to leave that particular menorah. Again, we see this concept or idea that not just that people did it, but that when a person does it, it buys them a certain right of eternity, that if someone wants to sell that same object again to raise money for the shul, but halachically, that would be this. Let's see a little bit of some of the halacha, of halacha lamaisa, of what the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim paskin and rule pertaining to this, and then we'll try to understand the principle a little. The Rashba in Chayos HaTshuva says, that it's permissible to write a person's name on the entrance of a shul. So a guy donates a shul, you're allowed to write the Goldberg Family Sanctuary, or Base Goldberg, or, you know, in Bnei Brak, there's a minion factory that's called Itzkovich. Called Itzkovich because Itzkovich donated it. So Rashba writes in Shalos HaTshuvos that it's permissible to write a person's name on a shul. Why, says the Rashba, kidei litein schar la'osei mitzvah, to reward someone who's doing a mitzvah. Then he says another thing. He says, More than that, when you write people's names on buildings, it encourages other people who want to also give more money for tzedakah. So on one hand, maybe you don't think it should be there. Maybe why do you want to say it out there? But on the other hand, someone walks by and like, wow, really? The Goldberg donated a shul? I think I'm on the same financial level as the Goldberg, and I've never donated anything. Maybe I should start thinking about and memorializing, you know, eternalizing my family's legacy and name. Let me try to donate something. So it encourages other people to do it. Because of this Rajba, the Rambam paskins in Shulchan Aruch, like this. Now, the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch has two parts. First, the Rambam begins, and the Rambam says that lo yispa'er ha'adam b'tzedakah. A person shouldn't use tzedakah to glorify themselves. And if one does give tzedakah just for the sake of notoriety, so that people speak about them, so they get honor, lo dai she'enu mekav al schar, writes the Rambam. Not only does a person not get rewarded, el afilu manishino so'alim. He punished the fellow for giving tzedakah because he gave tzedakah just for his own personal gratification. This is the Ramah in Hilchos Tzedakah in Yoredeya, Simen Reish Nun. Sorry, Reish Nun Tes. However, the Ramah concludes and he says, Mikal makom, nevertheless, Misha maktish davar le tzedakah, if you do donate something to tzedakah, mutter loy sheyichtev shmai alav, you're allowed to inscribe your name on the object, sheyehei loy lezikaroi, that it should be our memory and memorial, it should be eternalized. And then the Ramah concludes in the name of the Rajba, it's Rajba, Meroi Lasso's king. It's appropriate to do this. So really the words of the Rama are somewhat paradoxical. On one hand, he says that if you donate to Upa Lihispa'er for your own glory, your own notoriety, then not only do you not get the reward for that tzedakah, but you get punished for it. But then the Rama says that if somebody gives something to tzedakah, he has a right to have his name on it, and that's even appropriate. So how do we understand this? And like we began, Navi writes, Ma Hashem Alekecha Doirish Mimcha. What does Hashem seek out from a person? What's our mandate? Asos Mishpa, writes the Navi, to do justice. Ve'atznei Alecha Zim Hashem Alekecha, to walk modestly with Hashem. Seems like that is our tagline. At the same time, we say, no, write your name on your shul. Put your name on the Sefer Torah. Put your name on the Shulchan, on the Aruch. Put your name on, no, the Engizol of East Brunswick has an interesting dedication, which I don't want to say in my shir, but there is a dedication on a particular item in the Young Israel, which is probably not so common, but someone wanted a dedication on it. And then this Ramah is also difficult. So is it okay to publicize, or is one punished for publicizing? How exactly does one rectify? How are we able to come up with some understanding in what's okay to do, or at least principally what the idea behind it? So here there's a difference of opinion or a difference of perspective in some of the different posts. The Nitziv in Hamek Shela, the Nitziv writes, that means to say the following. He says, you're not allowed to make a big splash out of your donation. That means to say, if a person, maybe the way to say it is like this. If a person's main purpose in the tzedakah donation is for his own benefit, that's awesome. And the way that manifests itself, right, the Nitziv is, that the person makes a huge deal out of something, perhaps bigger than it should be. However, at the same time, writes the Nitziv in Hamek Shela, a person is 100% justified in being mezakeh as the rabbin, in bringing merit to the community, and suffer from the Rashba, perhaps, even adding into something if it will encourage other people to give. So the Rama says, Nitziv in Hamek Shela says, it really depends on your level of ostentatiousness in your donation. I've spoken to people from different organizations, and there are some donors that their donation comes with so many bells and whistles. It's not even kedai. It's not even worthwhile to take the donation. They need so much notoriety. They need so much of a presence. And everything you do, you're literally bound to them. You're shackled to them. That's not money, giving money for tzedakah because you want to give tzedakah, you want to help. It's because you have your mission, and this is how you're accomplishing your mission, which is to be a baal tzedakah. That's the Nitziv's approach. Rabbi Moshe Sternbuch, in his Tshuva Sman Haggis, more recent poetic, Rabbi Moshe Sternbuch writes that there's a difference in what type of tzedakah. This is very interesting. He said, if you're giving tzedakah to the poor, there should be zero notoriety. If you're giving tzedakah to poor, there should be zero acknowledgement, as we see in the Rambam, that the higher one goes in the hierarchy of tzedakah donation, If you want to really give tzedakah in the highest level, you don't know who's getting it, and they don't know who's giving it. That's the highest level. So he says, if a guy gives $1 million to Tomchei Shabbos, an amazing organization with many branches, literally brings food packets to people every Shabbos, and perhaps that's the difference between them having food for Shabbos and not having food for Shabbos. He writes from Moshe Sternbach, there should be zero notoriety. It should not be there. There should be, no one should know about it. It should be done, say sir, it should be done clandestinely. That's the way to give that type of tzedakah. However, writes the Reb Moshe Sternbach, if one's giving money to a yeshiva, one is giving money to a Beis HaKnesses, one is giving money for an institution, a school, then one is 100% legitimate if they want to put their name on it. Because on the contrary, it sees that people are supporting. And that type of tzedakah, we don't find in halacha that necessarily the level of tzedakah, the chashivus, the importance of tzedakah goes up if one gives it, unnamed, if one gives it without people knowing it. So that's the differentiation that Reb Moshe Sternbach makes in the type of tzedakah. To the poor, zero. We don't want you to know about Torah, to institutions, to shuls, yeshivas. Then Reb Moshe Sternbach says that's not necessarily a bad thing, and if a person would like to do it, they're permitted to do it. In the Hakadama, the introduction to the Sefer, the Chalos HaTshuvos, the response of Divrei Ma'akil, it makes a different differentiation. And he says it depends on the prominence of the tzedakah organization. This is a very, very interesting piece. I've just found personally over the years in speaking to many different people and being involved in different tzedakahs, there are certain tzedakahs that are really easy to raise money for. There are other tzedakahs that are extremely difficult to raise money for. Tony, you have a question? I see your hands up. Tony, you there? Okay, whatever. I'm in you when you're ready. So I've personally found, I'm going to give you an example, not to minimize the importance of any tzedakah organization that I'm saying, but for example, and they need a tremendous amount of money, and they're an amazing organization that one should ever need, Chai Lifeline is an amazing organization. They help people in their most difficult times. And of course, they work hard in trying to raise money. That's less of an issue to raise money for children with cancer. It pulls at the heartstrings. You have to be a cruel person to not want to help that situation. It is substantially more difficult to raise money for a yeshiva, to raise money for a kollel, to raise money for a school. Why? Because there's a lot of different layers that a person can say, what do you mean, there's tuition? Why should I be paying for someone else's children? Or, I'd rather give my money to people that really need it. There's lots of justifications. So the Sefer Divrei Ma'akil writes like this. He says, if it's a tzedakah, that, I don't know how to say this in the right terminology, but if it's a tzedakah that shouldn't be having an issue collecting tzedakah, it's a need that's close to people's. Just today, a man called me up and he said to me, Rabbi, Hashem has been kind to me in the last year, even when things were difficult. Do you know any poor families in East Brunswick? I would like to make a substantial donation to ease their lives. I don't want to give to an organization. I want to buy ShopRite cards. I want to give it to them. I want to buy Target cards so they can buy basic necessities. Poor people pulls at everyone's heartstrings. Sick people, Rahman al-Islam, people in a difficult situation. But how about things that are not so easy to raise tzedakah? Those, writes the Divrei Ma'akil, you can publicize. Wow, that guy gave $1 million to a yeshiva. That's not the norm. That you can publicize. But to publicize someone gave a lot of money to, let's say, the poor, which perhaps is similar to what we said before, that should pull at a person's heartstrings, or sick, for impoverished, the unfortunate, the abused, then he says it's probably better not to publicize one's name and to keep it, the shekhet, to keep it under wraps. These are the different differentiations that different posts can bring up in terms of donations. I'll just pause for a moment and say there's always this very big tug of war when it comes to honoring people for dinners. I'll share with you something personal. My parents, many years ago, were asked to be honorees for a very reputable yeshiva in the United States. Now, not to toot my own horn, my parents are incredibly special, balei chesed. There are very few people in the Jewish nation that do as much chesed as this couple, my parents, do. I wish that I was even a tiny little fraction of what they did. I would still be a great bal chesed. And they were asked many times to be honorees for a dinner. And finally, one institution, which they're very involved with, came to them and pushed them. My parents said, no, we're not comfortable. Everything we do in our life, we do out of the limelight. You're going to put us in the limelight. So the organization was smart, and they sent someone in to Rav Chaim Kanievsky on behalf of my parents, the great tzaddik, the great gaon, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, of course they should be. And the question my parents said to them was, what do you mean? But Hasnei Aleches. And Rav Chaim said, what do you mean? If you can raise more money for this particular yeshiva, was a yeshiva, you can make sure that the yeshiva is able to pay the rebbeim on time, that they have what they need. You have an option, an opportunity to do chesed. You have to do everything you possibly within your power to do that. Not even a question. So my parents took the honoree. They were very uncomfortable. They didn't want to do it. But bottom line is that everything they do in their life, they do the shem shemayim, they do it for the altruistic reasons, not for their own personal comfort. They went ahead and they did it. So that was at least their cheshbon. That was their calculation. They never wanted to do it, and they finally did it after Rav Chaim Kanievsky told them that this is something that they should be doing. Now, in the poskim, there's different reasons in the side of yes being mifarsim, of yes advertising, of yes publicizing one's donations. The Rajva, like we saw previously, says, number one, that a person should have some type of eternal memory in this world. They pass away. No one remembers them. But every time they go back by the shul, it says, the Schiff family shul. Oh, who are the Schiffs? Wow. L'zeichor nishmas from Chaim Tzvi ben Rev Baruch Shlomo. No. And he also says, because it opens up the door to other people giving, wow, that guy gave so much money to tzedakah. Maybe I should re-examine my priorities and figure out how much money I should be giving to tzedakah. We saw that in the Rajva. The Taz has a totally different approach, which the poskim are not so thrilled with. The Taz says, you know why you want to put your name on it? Because it says in the Yerushalmi that if you have your name on an object that you donate, a building that you donate, they can never sell that opportunity again. Right? We saw in the Taz, Yerushalmi writes that if someone's name is inscribed in something, they can never sell the right for that, or they can't replace it. It always has to stay there. So writes the Taz, listen, you know why you should be in the fire? You know you should put your name on it? Because then you know that your dedication will stay. How do you know that in 6 years from then they're not going to sell the same dedication to somebody else? They're not going to double dip. So writes the Taz, that's why you should write it. Very interesting. And it comes out, there'll be a practical difference between the Taz and between the Rajva. Let's say, for example, you write a contract with the shul. Okay. This honoree will remain yours for as long as the shul is in existence. So if you learn, like the Rajva, you still should put your name on it. Why? Because other people will see it, and this way they'll be inspired to give. But if you learn like the Taz, there's no reason to do it anymore. You have a contract in hand that says you're never going to sell that honor to somebody else. So then, on the contrary, don't put your name on it. Maybe it's considered a lack of tzniut or modesty to do such a thing. Comes as a practical nafkamina between the Taz and between the Rajva. Mishnah Brura brings down, it's in Kuf Nun Dal, the Mishnah Brura brings down the name of the Sefer HaChasidim. Sefer Hasidim has nothing to do with modern-day Hasidic movement. It is way, way older than that. Of the Sefer Hasidim, the Book of the Devout. In the Sefer Hasidim, he writes the following story. There was a fellow that donated the entire building of a school. Paid for everything, kit and caboodle. From the soft cost, the hard cost, to the finishes, to the furnishing, he paid for every single thing in the whole school. And he didn't let, many other people said, we're building a shul, we want to participate. At least I want to donate, you know, the Aron Kodesh. I want to donate the bima. I want to donate a chair. I want to donate a bookshelf, a svarim shrunk. And the fellow didn't let. Now, why did he do that? He says, no, I want my legacy to be that I pay my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I want them all to know that I donated this whole shul all by myself. And he writes a frightening thing. The Sefer Hasidim writes that sadly, all of his descendants died. And he had no remnant anymore. Because one of the indicators if a person is doing tzedakah l'shem shemayim is that they don't want a hog. They want to keep some of the opportunity for other people. And other people participate as well. In the Shalos HaTshuva Tzemach Tzedek, this has nothing to do with the Lubavitch Rebbe, whose name was Tzemach Tzedek, it's a different sefer. In the Shalos HaTshuva Tzemach Tzedek, he actually brings three conditions that invalidate. If a person violates any of these three conditions, you do not have to memorialize them. You don't have to give them a plaque. One of them is what we just said. And that is, if let's say a person hogs that sets up a project, they want to be the sole donor, then the halacha is that you do not have an obligation to give them a plaque, number one. Number two, he says that it's a situation where the reason the guy wants his name on it is because eventually it's going to come and be like, give me back my menorah. It's mine. Look, it has my name on it. He doesn't want it to be the shul's permanently. He still wants to keep an attachment to it. Then says the Tzaddik Tzaddik, don't write the name on it because he's either donating it or he's not. And finally, he says a fascinating thing. If the plaque or letters are distracting, that means you walk into a shul and this guy's got a whole long Megillah written all over the Aron Kodesh from this town, in this town, in this place, and matter of this grandmother killed in the Holocaust, is just distracting to the Mispalim. He says, a guy can't claim a right to have his name on something if it's going to be distracting. I don't know. I didn't see any of the posts that say this, but I wonder if maybe somebody has a family member who has a very strange name. And people look at it like, what? I don't know if that's considered a distraction. If I consider it a distraction, I'm not sure. But he says those are the three conditions that invalidate a person from getting their name on a dedication. The Ramosha Feinstein has a very interesting shaila, which I don't remember seeing this tshuva for Ramosha earlier, which I wish I would have seen it. But Ramosha writes the following responsa to the following question. So there was some type of shul that was built, let's say, in the early 1900s, and they decided in the 1950s that they would like to rebuild the shul. Or they want to do shiputzim, they want to totally remodel the inside of the shul, put up a new aro, a new bima, new everything. So they asked Ramosha Feinstein two questions. Question number one, they said, is could they sell the opportunity to dedicate the Aron Kodesh, the new Aron Kodesh, or does the right of dedication to the Aron Kodesh still belong to the original donor? That was question number one. And question number two was, could they, instead of having the dedications on the Aron, on the rooms, on the bookshelves, could they put up a large plaque, like a large board of dedications or honors outside, and that'll stand instead of the dedication on top of the Aron, instead of the dedication on top of the classroom, on top of the coffee room, whatever it is. So Moshe Feinstein answers the two questions, and he says like this. He feels that having dedication names on a dedication board is tantamount to having that in the shul. That's not a problem, that's not an issue. The main point is that it's memorialized. Who cares where it's memorialized? Says Ramosha, that's not a problem. Ramosha does write, and he says that if someone buys the right to have their name on an Aron Kodesh and they decide to put up a new Aron Kodesh, says Ramosha, first of all, that person has first rights. If they want to pay for the next Aron Kodesh, they have the right to donate it, even if someone else is online to donate. More than that, says Ramosha, if it's a great expense, then at least what should happen is that we should give them the opportunity to participate in the expense, and then the Aron Kodesh should say on it, dedicated by the Shif and Shif Mint families. Because the first fellow who had this in his hand, he does have some type of schus, he does have some type of right to make this happen. The Shevet Levi, Rav Vazner, Trolav Racha, Rav Vazner writes a similar tshuva, but his tshuva was actually with the Satmar Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim. The Satmar Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim became too small, and they decided to make it larger. And as part of making it larger, they were going to move it partially to one side and build a building on the other side, a residential building on the other side. They were literally going to change the whole thing. So they wrote a shalat to Rav Vazner, do they still have to keep the name on the Aron from the guy that made the first Aron or not? So Rav Vazner in his Sefer says like this, we find that when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, there's something called umdana. Umdana means assumption. In halacha, we find this as well. That sometimes in halacha, you know, we say, you regular people think this way, and therefore the halacha should follow what regular people do. So Rav Vazner says like this. He says, if there was no deal made between the donor and between the organization, they just said, yes, you could donate the Aron, and we'll put a plaque for your family. Says Rav Vazner, first of all, from the organization's perspective, they probably ever thought that, ooh, if we change shuls, we're also going to take this Aron. No, they meant for this Aron right here. He says, even from the donor's perspective, a guy knows that eventually the shul may become too small and they may replace it. Who says that he thinks in his mind, oh, I'm also going to have that additional new shul, that new Aron? So Rav Vazner said that halachically, there really isn't a right. Rav Osner, however, does say that in the Satmar Beis Medrash there, one of the donors made a side note that perpetually the object that they donated to be his, to be his family's. And then Rav Osner writes that they have to keep that. But Rav Osner says they don't have to keep it on the actual Aron. They can make a plaque outside that says the Aron in the original building was donated by the Horowitz family. And that would be sufficient, at least according to the opinion of Rav Osner. Rav Osner does say that nevertheless, even though halachically they're not obligated, it's a good thing to try to give schus to the people that made the original shul. Because without the original shul, there wouldn't be a second shul. So it is appropriate somewhere in the building to maybe have a large board, have a large sign that says on it, this building is the new Satmar building, and the old Satmar building was donated by the following people. The Teitelbaum family gave the Aron, the Horowitz family gave the Shulchan, etc., etc. So at least we leave them with some type of eternal memorial. The Mishnah Berurah brings another interesting facet of this. The Mishnah Berurah says that only the people who actually donated, they gave the money, or physically did the work, you know, pro bono, have a right to have a memory. But let's say the fellow that was in charge of the fundraising team. You have the person that's in charge of the fundraising team, in charge of the building committee. They don't have a right to turn to the shul and request that they get some kind of plaque. It's only objects that are donated or services, trades that are donated. It doesn't work the other way around. And therefore, halacha is that you don't have a right to demand that if, let's say, the gabbai or the person is misadarit. However, the Mishnas Yosef writes that doesn't mean to say that one should not express akara sataif to that person. You can honor them by a dinner. You could publicly thank them in shul. The shul could send them over something for yantif. You know, one should do something to honor them, but they don't have a right to say, hey, I didn't get my opportunity to be acknowledged as like the donors that I actually. Now, here is a very interesting shaila, which I don't see most shuls keep to. But there's a Maharsham. The Maharsham was written about 120, 130 years ago. The Maharsham writes that you're not allowed to write non-Hebrew letters in the shul. He says you can't have on the Aron Kodesh donated in memory of Lily Steinrut. It would have to be Lizikaron Olam Laisha Chashuva Leah Werach Steinrut. It has to be Lashon HaKodesh letters. Says the same thing as on a Sefer Torah cover, on the mantle, it shouldn't have English letters on it. On the bima, it shouldn't have English letters on it. That's very interesting because it doesn't seem like most shuls and most communities follow this Maharsham. And the Maharsham actually writes something so interesting. The Maharsham says that if you're in a really bad situation and you have to write letters because you have no way to get out of it, so you should write in English letters, you know, donated by the Horowitz family, and then you should put a flap of velvet on top of it that says Nitna Dev al Yidei Mishpachat Horovitz, and you should cover it. But if the Horowitzes ever want to come and see the English, they can pick up the flap and see that it says the Horowitz family. That's what the Maharsham writes, which seems to be very strange and very interesting, but nonetheless, he writes that. It doesn't seem like mainstream shuls and yeshivas necessarily follow this. I've been to many shuls that do have English or other languages in it, but it's important to note at least the understanding of the Maharsham himself. I want to conclude and say that the bottom line is that the appropriate approach to giving tzedakah is the following approach, and I've said this, I think, in a number of our shiurim. A bunch of years ago, I had a conversation, friendly conversation. It wasn't a solicitation. It was just one yid talking to another yid with one of America's largest, most philanthropic donors. This man over the years probably built dozens and dozens of yeshivas and building an institution and gave millions of millions, tens of millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to them. The guy said to me something which blew my mind. He's not a great Talmid Chacham. Maybe he is. He doesn't come across as a major Torah scholar. He seems like a regular balabas, a regular businessman. But he said to me, Rabbi, I want you to know something. That Hashem gave me an amazing opportunity, and that is that I am his banker. He deposits money in my accounts, and I have the great schus of being his agent and taking care of his people. That's exactly how I view tzedakah. I'm just the pocket. I'm Hashem's pocket. And he gives me the schus, the merit, to take the money that's his and give it to his children and give it to his people, give it to his community. That's the way, the right approach for giving tzedakah. Now, this fellow, just to give credit where credit is due, he does have many, many shuls and schools and institutions that he donated. And it says on them, always, in memory of, and it says his parents, his in-laws, and other people. It never says donated by his family. And I think he stays away from that because he doesn't feel he has a right for that. He does have a right, he feels, to help memorialize the previous generations. But just that approach to tzedakah, you know, right, you know, putting up signs, not putting up signs, plaques or not, it's the way we frame our giving to tzedakah. Wow, I have this chus of being an agent, a shliach from Hashem, to assist those that are less fortunate than me. Wow, what an incredible chus. Hashem should always give each and every one of us the opportunity to feel that, to feel that Hashem is putting us in a position of being just like him, of giving, of donating. And in mitzvah Hashem, A, the feeling is amazing, and B, it's a mitzvah of alachta b'drachah, of following the ways of Hashem. Hashem should give us always that we should have as much as we need and much more to give to others as well. Yashar Koach, everybody. It's been a pleasure coming back on.
Thank you.
Yashar Koach, Rabbi. This is one of your best.
Thank you so much, Marty. I appreciate it. Always, you have a very nice response.